When I was in middle school, there was one night when I just really couldn't sleep at all. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was just wrestling in bed the whole night. And so I decided I was going to get up and turn on the TV, you know, go downstairs to the basement TV, make sure my parents or sister didn't hear. I was going to watch something. And I'm flipping the channels. And I know what I'm looking for, but the Terminator pops up. Now, I don't know why I decided to watch the Terminator at 2 a.m. in the dark by myself. As a middle schooler, like maybe freshman year. But that experience scarred me for life. I cannot tell you how many times I still have nightmares to this day that Skynet has gone online and that the end of the world is nigh. That movie has drastically changed the way that I view the world, and I am still terrified of artificial intelligence to this day, and I am also fascinated with it at the same time. But as we know, the Terminator and its glorious iterations are not the only movies that deal with AI, are they? There are movies that are like the Terminator in which, you know, the AI takes over and does bad things. You know, there's The Matrix, which, I mean, honestly, are we in a simulation? That's a whole other topic for a whole other time. But again, 2 a.m., sometimes these thoughts get the best of me. You've got, hold on, I made a list. Really, it's more movies that I can possibly count or list, but I'm sure it's not going to try. 2001 A Space Odyssey. Just remind me to never go to space with a killer robot. Please, if that ever starts to happen, just, you know, pull me out. But then there are the movies that that show us a more complex side of artificial intelligence. You know, RoboCop. And I'm talking about the original RoboCop, not the reboot, but it's oof. But, you know, they start to talk about the blending of artificial intelligence and human beings and how human beings begin to abuse that power. We get movies like Blade Runner, which really then, again, the classic. I mean, 2048 is pretty good, but it's still the classic with Harrison Ford is the best one. But that doesn't matter again. Again, we begin to see this difficulty in distinguishing what is human, what is artificial intelligence. Can they be both? Can they be capable of love? Her is a movie in which a man falls in love with an artificial intelligence, but it grows so far beyond him that it, and humanity in general, that they leave and they go off on their own. The TV show Westworld has been the most confusing for me recently, and again brings up those same questions of if I am a robot. It's a really good TV show on HBO if you're interested. But then there are the cute ones, right? The cute movies like Short Circuit. I love that movie so much. And it shows us that maybe, just maybe, artificial intelligence is capable of understanding a bad joke in which they miss the punchline completely. And then there's stuff like WALL-E that show us that AI may be indeed capable of love and goodness. Now, many of you are probably wondering, why in the heck are we talking about Wes's favorite AI movies? And that is a good question. But the answer is pretty simple. That these movies and TV shows, including the ones that I have not seen or I have forgotten to bring up, are the primary sources for what we think we know about artificial intelligence. Most of our feelings, our thoughts, our emotions around this subject come from the films and the TV shows and the movies that we watch. They come from a place that is based not in real science or reality, but a place of fiction and fictionalized fears and hopes. And I also think that it's incredibly important that before we start talking about some of these really difficult questions, not only about AI, but about any of the conversations we're going to have over the next 6 weeks, it's important for us to understand what our perceptions are before we can begin to talk about the reality. We need to know what we think we believe about this before we can have an honest conversation about what's really happening in our world. Because the bias that we have been given from a lot of these movies and TV shows, whether good, negative, or indifferent, drastically impact the way that we're going to view AI moving into the future. Does that make sense? So it's important for us to name that and to understand that as we go forward. And I hope that we can do this as we continue to go through these topics. And as we talk about gun violence, as we talk about human sexuality, as we talk about some of these really difficult issues, I hope that we can take time to process where we are first to understand the lenses that we're viewing the world through. Before we lash out, before we judge, before we criticize someone else's point of view. It's an important process for us if we're going to learn and truly grow in any of these subjects. But I, like many, had no idea what AI looked like in today's society. So I did a lot of research and I took a lot of notes. So bear with me. There are some potentially good applications for artificial intelligence or AI in our society. There are some just practical things, and there are some really dangerous things as well. So the visible stuff that gets a lot of attention with artificial intelligence these days are websites like ChatGPT. Who's heard of that? It's a website in which you create an account, which actually you can't anymore. They've met the maximum number of counts. I was lucky enough to get one early on. But you type in a question, and it'll spit out a whole paper for you, or even a sermon. More about that in a minute. But to really understand the difference between something like Google, which is also an artificial intelligence, and something like ChatGPT, the difference really is that when you type in a question to Google, what do you get? You get thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of links to websites and opinions, and you have to find the information for yourself. You know, Google is more of a clearinghouse for information. Whereas if you ask ChatGPT or a similar artificial intelligence resource, what it'll do is it'll scan all that same information. And as opposed to giving you links to things, it'll summarize it in a paragraph or two. It's really quite impressive. The free version of ChatGPT essentially has been trained on most of the information that they could possibly have access to pre-2021. That's a lot of data and a lot of information you can pull from. If you pay for the full version, you can ask, who is Wesley Gately Price? And it'll give you a description. But the description isn't about what is he like, what does he like, what's his favorite movie. It's Wesley Gately Price was born in 1995 to parents so-and-so and so-and-so and did this and did that and did that and that. It gives statistics, it gives facts, but it really doesn't do anything to describe the person, right? And so not only can it summarize existing information, but it can also then predict new information. And so, you know, even if Jesus didn't say anything in the scriptures about artificial intelligence, you can ask, what might Jesus say? Because it can go through the entirety of scripture, the entirety of thought of who Jesus is, and it can look at the patterns of what Jesus believed, what he taught, what he said, and it can predict what Jesus might say in the future. It's really very interesting. But the danger here is that there is no new information. There's no new thoughts. It's all just a summary of things that other people have said or things that already exist. And so it's not really original. But these days, AI has an access to an overabundance of information. And how it works is it looks at all this information, it trains on it, looks for the patterns, and then it learns how to predict new patterns. But what's really interesting and ironic is that sometimes, and a lot of lawyers in particular have gotten in trouble for this, they'll ask ChatGPT to write a case on an important matter. And ask them to find, you know, pre-existing cases and precedents and things like that. Well, if ChatGPT can't find an actual historical precedent, you know what it does? It makes up one. It's hysterical. And I read a lot of those articles. And I also, at the same time, I feel bad, but at the same time, I'm like, you had it coming. But then there are the everyday things that that we experience AI. If you use Siri, Alexa, or Google, that's artificial intelligence. Much more simple than something like ChatGPT, but it's an artificial intelligence that reads your voice and pulls up what you're looking for. So if you ever use that, you're engaged in navigation apps, artificial intelligence. It looks at the map, the destination, and your current location, and it tries to predict what the best route's gonna be. That's artificial intelligence. Streaming platforms like Netflix, Spotify, and others, they use artificial intelligence as they look at the kinds of things that you have watched, listened to, the things that you have liked, and then predicts what similar content you might like. That's artificial intelligence. iRobot, you know, those little vacuums? Artificial intelligence. Social media like Facebook uses artificial intelligence on a daily basis. They will track what posts you engage with, what posts you look at the longest. So if you're just scrolling up and down, but you stop for 2 seconds, Facebook knows that, and they're going to say, oh, they like this kind of thing. Let's show more of that. I bet you it's not a hard thing to imagine how bad that can get real quick. But also medical fields and finance fields and other places are using it as well to streamline, to better predict, and how to care for people. So really, it's everywhere. And there are some potentially positive impacts of artificial intelligence in our world. There are things that are just downright practical about making sure that we get to the places we want to go the most efficiently, helping us to get the information we need in the most efficient and quickest way possible, right? So there are some things that are beneficial, that are practical, but there are things that are some potentially dangerous, because the limitations of artificial intelligence are almost limitless. For example, I went into Canva, and Canva has a new, it's like Publisher, but easier. And they have a program where you can type in a message and it'll give you an image. Can we pull that up? So I asked Canva to create a picture of Jesus riding a bison, eating an ice cream cone in a park. Now, if you look very closely at Jesus's face, he is also very confused as to why he's riding a bison. And I can't tell you exactly why I decided this is what I wanted to see, but Chandler reminded me that there is theological precedent for this, because what did God say to Jesus when he sent him to earth? Bison. Thank you, Chandler. I need to give credit to where that's due. Goodness. But AI can do ridiculous things like this, and it's wonderful and glorious. But also, the divide that we have in our country right now, you don't want to know a major source that we can blame for that? Facebook's AI algorithm that only shows you the news, the information, the opinions that you want to see. And it filters out the rest so that suddenly everything on your Facebook is stuff that you agree with. And suddenly you think that's the whole world. AI can be potentially very dangerous for us. But I went through all of this and looked at all this information, talked about the different applications, the dangers, but still, I couldn't really nail down what I thought Jesus might say about artificial intelligence. And so I logged into ChatGPT and I said, ChatGPT, write a sermon for me on artificial intelligence. It's a 3-point sermon. I'm going to read it for you now. It's entitled Divine Intelligence, Understanding AI Through the Eyes of Christ. That sounds catchy, doesn't it? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ. See right there, it's got to be sisters and then brothers. Okay, I need to not like analyze this too deeply because we're going to be here all day. As we gather today to explore the intersection of faith and technology, let us turn our hearts and minds to the teaching of Christ Jesus. In a world rapidly advancing in artificial intelligence, it is essential for us to reflect on how Christ's message of love, compassion, and justice can guide our thoughts in this new era. Isn't that lovely? First point, the Creator and creation. In the Gospel of John, we are reminded that all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made at all. As we contemplate the development of artificial intelligence, we must acknowledge that human beings created in the image of God have been endowed with the ability to innovate and create. AI is, in its essence, a product of human creativity, a tool fashioned by humans' hands. And Christ's teachings compel us to use this creativity for the betterment of humanity, to alleviate suffering and promote justice. That's nice. That's very lovely. 2, the ethical foundation. Jesus' ministry was rooted in ethical teachings that emphasize love, empathy, and the well-being of others. When we consider the deployment of AI, it is crucial to ensure that its applications align with those ethical principles.
AI should not be used to exploit harm, dehumanize, but rather enhance the human experience and contribute to the common good. As Christians, we are called to be stewards of creation, including the technological advancements that come from human ingenuity. I like that word, ingenuity. Third, compassion. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." As we contemplate how the impact of AI on society, we must consider its effects on the vulnerable and marginalized. How can we ensure that AI is used to uplift these and those in need, providing solutions to poverty, inequity, and suffering? In the development and the deployment of AI, let our compassion for the least among us be a guiding light, echoing the teachings of Christ. Do you have any friends? That's a weird pause to make. Sorry about that. That didn't mean to be so accusational. Do you have any friends that they have a real knack for saying many words with really flowery and excellent language, but their message isn't necessarily really all that clear? And in reality, they're not really saying much of anything at all. They're just using many different words, preferably the longer the better, to get across a point that you really can't quite understand or comprehend for yourself. Do you have a friend who talks like that? That they say a lot of words, use a lot of language, but they say nothing at all? Maybe you're that person. You know who you are. That's how I kind of viewed this sermon. It just really didn't seem to say anything at all. It was fine. It was lovely, but what's the point? So AI failed me. And so then I had to go back to actually human creativity, God forbid, and do my job. So time-consuming, let me tell you. But I was still stuck. I still couldn't figure out what in the world Jesus might say about this issue of artificial intelligence. So when I'm stuck on a sermon, because, pastors, we get writer's block too, I did what I don't normally do. I moved on to other things. Until this weekend, at 2 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, I had an epiphany. The first thing is that AI, it's in the name, artificial. And we can see throughout Scripture, throughout Jesus' teachings, that Jesus never asked us to be artificial. God didn't ask us to merely be able to say the prayers, to sing or listen to the hymns, to come to worship when we can. God didn't ask us to check off the boxes that we're supposed to be good followers of God. God didn't ask us just to have a faith up here, but a faith in here. There's a story in the Gospel of Mark that I'm not going to get into too many details because it's going to open up a whole new can of worms. It's about washing hands, and we just went through a pandemic. It's all about washing hands, so we're not even going to touch that. But what happens is that Jesus says something controversial. Go figure. And then the Pharisees come in and they get offended. Typical. And so what does Jesus do? He quotes Isaiah at them. I've heard this story before time and time again, have we not? And do the Pharisees get it? No. He goes, flee! Do the disciples get it? Nope. Right over the head again. And Jesus gets frustrated. And he's like, oh, you people, you don't understand. But the passage that Jesus quotes in this little section of text, this little pericope, is from the prophet Isaiah. It's kind of fun sometimes watching the head bow. I was like, oh, that's good. I like that. That's good. oh boy, my ADD is everywhere today. But Jesus never asks us to be artificial. And we see in this text that Jesus is complaining and lambasting those who claim to know the law. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. But in their heart of hearts, their hope is someplace else. They know what they're supposed to do and they check the boxes, but their hope and their faith is in themselves, not in God. And that, my friends, is an artificial faith. When we claim to believe in God, when we claim to believe in the teachings that Christ offered to us, and yet we continue to try to make plans, we continue to try to have faith in things that we create, that will ultimately fail us. The second thing I realized was watching the movie The Creator on Friday. I'm not going to do anything to spoil the movie, but it is pretty decent if you're into that sort of thing. But what it helped me to realize with that film is that the problem isn't with artificial intelligence. That's not the thing we need to be afraid of. It's not the thing we need to fear. The problem is us. Because when we look at all these movies, when we watch all these stories, who created the AI? Did AI create itself? No. Humanity did. But time and time again in these films, humanity creates artificial intelligence, possibly out of a sense of a need of security. They're afraid of what other powers around them might do. Maybe out of a sense of convenience, or let's be honest, just straight up laziness. But then when artificial intelligence decides that, I'm not going to do it the way that you want to, humanity lashes out. Really, the stories that we see in Hollywood about artificial intelligence really aren't all that dissimilar to the story of the Israelites. When God set the Israelites free and brought them into the Promised Land, God said, if you have faith in me, if you believe in me, you'll be protected, you'll be provided for, and you'll be cared for. If you have faith and if you believe, if you follow my commands, then you will be safe. You will be cared for. But over time, the people lost their faith. And they began to see other nations around them who didn't behave like they did. They had kings to lead them. And the people became insecure because they didn't have a powerful army. They didn't have a powerful king to ward off enemies. So they built a system of governance based on human minds, human needs. They stopped relying on God and they started relying upon themselves. And when the kings act like kings do, selfishly, making bad decisions, spending way too much money on themselves rather than the people, when the kings ultimately brought destruction to the people, who did they try to blame? God. They try to blame the very system that they created that brought them to this point in the first place. We human beings have a tendency to be unwilling to rely on God for our security and our provision to the point that we try to create it for ourselves. And when things don't go the way that we hope they do, because after all, these are the creations of human hands that are imperfect and fallible, how do we respond? I know this is a silly example, but has Google Maps or Apple Maps or any of that stuff, has it ever taken you on a bad route that made you late? But we put so much faith, I do at least, every single day, for Google Maps to get me where I'm supposed to get. I give up so much control over how I'm getting there. I give so much control over, honest to goodness, my paycheck. Is that what God is asking us to do? To give over control over our lives to things that we know are eventually going to fail us? The problem, my friends, is not artificial intelligence. Because AI can only ever be what we create it to be. If we create it and if we use it to be a source of good in our world, then it will be a source of good. But if we create AI out of a sense of fear, out of a personal security or personal desire or personal needs, then that's what it will become. And it's also imperfect for the clear fact. Can anyone tell me, it's only over there. Oh, we put the image back up there. What's Jesus' skin color in that picture? White. We know that Jesus was not Caucasian. And yet even artificial intelligence is still impacted by our bias. It's still even... though it is smarter than us in some ways, it still relies back upon human bias. And if we continue to fill it with that sort of content, with that sort of data, with that sort of information, that's what it's going to be for us. But the good news for us is that even if Even if we human beings are dumb enough to give Skynet too much power of our lives and the robots do take over, what did God do when the Israelites got themselves in a big old heaping mess? He set them free once again from their own mistakes. He did not forget nor neglect them, even when they turned away from God. And there is nothing, nothing on this earth that we can create that is more powerful than God, that is more powerful than Jesus. And so no matter how far down that road we may go, God will constantly be with us, pushing us and driving us into a better way of living. And at the end of the day, we can rely on the hope, rely on the promise that Christ gave us when he left.
I'll be back.
Amen.